Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and I am joined today by the crazy mad scientist that he is. He kind of looks like a disheveled Doc Brown from the Back to the Future series. Not Christopher Lloyd, but a one Mr. Brian E. Roach. And he'll probably tell us, why like his hair is all whacked out and gray and everything else. Does that have anything to do with these Steelers games being a little too close to the vest than we would like?
1.2 gigawatts! Yes!
I don't know. I don't remember the quote, but yes. Maybe I had more hair, I still have more hair than you, but it used to be on all the sides. Now it's just in the middle. Cause I pulled out all the stuff on the sides from the damn games. They cannot make it easy.
Well, we kind of said it might be sloppy too, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And we said that the Texans would probably pull out all the stops cause they were 0-2. I almost said the Broncos. I'm like, yeah, no. they tried too, but not quite so much. And they joined the Texans in being 0-3. So the Steelers win by a final score of 28-21. Wasn't pretty all the time. I get texts from certain messages from certain yinzers. I said, wait for the second half. So it's a totally different thing. We're talking about a Houston Texans team that cannot adjust. People think the Steelers would not adjust. They took a little breather. They went into the locker room, and I think they adjusted well. But before we get to that, let's talk about everything else that happened preceding that. Well, again, my favorite thing, Brian. Let's kick the ball away when we win the coin toss. Let's defer to the second half. I'm usually a fan of that. It still hasn't really worked out in the offense's favor doing so. But otherwise, I prefer not starting with the offense first thing, first quarter, and then going 3-and-out. That's the thing that really sucks when it happens. So
yeah.
Steelers used a lot of bodies here today. They didn't go unscathed, however. Deontay Johnson, concussion protocol, we could assume for all of this week, and we'll see if he's game ready for the trip to Tennessee next week when they play the Titans for the first game that they will play in front of fans this year. The Steelers have not played in front of fans yet. No fans permitted at with the Giants at MetLife, and no fans at the two first home games for Heinz Field. No announcement yet, right? I haven't heard anything yet about the upcoming games, if they're going to allow maybe a 10% or something like that in. So we'll keep our eyes peeled, and of course, we'll mention it here if we do hear about it, but this game starts out properly, and I can imagine if there are fans here, they would have been happy. They force a 3-and-out almost immediately. Yep. Deshaun Watson, 2 incomplete passes. You had a small little 5-yard run from David Johnson, and that was it. Then Ben tries to get Eric Ebron going early, and that didn't work out so well, but he gets to Juju Smith-Schuster. They have a pretty decent drive here, 5 minutes, 11 seconds, 11 plays, 63 yards, and settle for a field goal. And it wouldn't be, I think, the only time we said there was a lot of work done that resulted in maybe not the points that we wanted, So you get to there. You get there. The Texans end up responding immediately, 7-3. You have the Steelers go 3-and-out. Texans go 3-and-out. There's some good stuff here or there. Ben ends up getting sacked. It wasn't looking necessarily pretty at first. Gerald Hawkins gets some playing time, coming fresh over from the Texans himself. He's now the tackle eligible guy because they've been short on bodies, so they utilized him quite a bit today. And of course, Derek Watt getting injured as well. So they didn't, it looked like they were, where everybody was like, where's the fullback? They were pretty much prepared to just ram it down the Texans' throats. But when we get to the end of the first quarter, it's 7-3 Houston by virtue of the ball now going back to start the second quarter. Dustin Colquitt getting some action here early with a few punts. What were you thinking? Is this kind of like, I wasn't worried at the end of the first quarter. It was 7-3. And I was kind of like, yeah, okay, they're going to get warmed up a little bit. The defense has showed me a little bit so far. So what, the Texans scored the game, their game script, they had their play scripted for the first, you know, however many drives. They were successful with one of these drives. Okay, great. I've seen this happen with the Texans before. Did you have the same kind of feeling that this I'm not going to say it was in the bag, but I'm going to say, hey, you know what? The Steelers have nothing to worry about yet. 7-3.
Well, let me start off by saying that the first beginnings of my hair being shed to the ground was on that first drive. You know, they put together a very nice drive. It started, it looked nice. They looked like they were putting something together. And they get down on, I think, the 16 yard line. It's like 3rd and 2, and they're in the shotgun. And I'm like, no, this team can't stop the run. What the hell are you doing? And, you know, they tried to get cute and do their little cutesy things, and then they kick a field goal. You know, and then as soon as they did that, I thought to myself, they're going to be behind 7-3 here in a second. Why? Because just the fact that they drove all the way down there and, you know, the Texans get that stop. I said, something's going to go. And, you know, was I worried? That's tough to say. I didn't like the look that the defense was getting. It was. They felt like, and I understand why. I mean, I complained about them playing soft, but they kind of have to play zone when you got somebody like Deshaun Watson playing quarterback, because if you play man to man with these guys, that means your defensive backs are turning their backs on the quarterback. And that's not going to be a good thing. Now, you know, you got to have a spy. You got to have something if you're going to do that. I was worried because he was able to pick that zone apart, and that didn't look like a good look. But scared, like concerned that they were going to lose the game? No, not yet. Not at that point. There was a point, but not at that point.
Not at this point. So we get into the second quarter. Da-da-da-da-da. Of course, other windows start popping up in front of me. We get to the second quarter, and now it's 14-3 off of that drive that opens up the second quarter. 9 plays, 54 yards, only 3 minutes and 58 seconds. You had a pass to David Johnson that was good for 20 yards. I think they had there was another play, 3rd and 6, another play that was for 20 yards to Kenny Stills. Another third down play to Will Fuller for 9 yards. And then, of course, a 2-yard David Johnson touchdown run. I kind of actually want to rewind back to they gave up another third down conversion earlier in the first quarter as well on that other scoring drive. So at this point, yep. What, there's 4 third down conversions in this game, and I'm starting to think these guys just aren't going to get off of the field. Overall, the Texans were 5 of 12 for 42% in this game on third downs. They actually didn't go for it on fourth down. I don't think they got to that point. They were pretty much perfect in the red zone when they were there, or goal to go. And even yardage wise, not sure if we have a first half breakdown. We probably do somewhere. First half summary. Let me see here. Total first downs. First downs by running the ball for the Texans was only 1. By passing, it was 10 first downs passing. Ten. Yes. So, and believe it or not, with the Steelers there for the first half, they were both 4 of 7 on third down, which was kind of crazy because you're thinking to yourself, well, they're beating us up. They're getting, you know, they ran fewer offensive plays. They had just a little margin of more yards. They didn't have as many first downs overall. They just had the third down efficiency, which was matched by the Steelers too, but it didn't really feel that way at all. And it more or less reflected that way. When you're on the scoreboard, the Steelers end up going down 21-17, but we haven't gotten all the way there yet. They do answer right after going down 14-3. They have a 12-play, 75-yard drive. That is the one where Big Ben finds Eric Ebron in the back corner.
And wasn't that a pretty pass? Wasn't that a pretty play?
That was pretty all the way around. The intentional grounding, which I hate that rule, where you're throwing it out of the back of the end zone. Now they're considering this, you know, I don't know. Is this new? Like, I don't really think they nitpicked it like this before, unless somebody was really had fire breathing down their neck. You know what I mean? Like they're yeah. getting tackled and almost down, and then they make some like quasi floating duck pass instead of like actually kind of moving a little in the pocket and then throwing it away.
You got to start me on this already. The zebras and their stinkiness.
I was going to wait for Chase Claypool to come into the conversation.
I am like, look, I don't know. You know, yeah, I can't go there yet. Let's wait.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I didn't want to like harp on it too much. And if anybody saw what either of us said on our personal social media accounts, it was like, I don't want to have to complain about the officiating every week. And you were like, then you're responding to Dane, who's
yes,
one of our followers out there. And and I think Dane says this. I know he tries to be as real gets, but there were a couple. This is what I said.
There's nothing wrong with complaining about the officials, as long as it's prefaced by the fact that even though they stink, they're not the reason that we lose. If we lose, we didn't lose, so that's good. But they're still stinky.
Yes, they are stinky. I said it's like we've been trained as fans for years now that if you were listening to music and that music was an NFL game, there would be whistles and flags, and it would be like you had a CD that was scratched in skips. For those of you who know what a CD is, for those of you who don't, just picture that you were ripping a CD into an MP3 and it had a bad spot and you missed some of the words as you're listening to the music. Or no, something's buffering. That's probably more like for the younger generation there.
There you go.
Yeah, it's buffering. It's buffering. Your song's skipping. That's the way the officiating had been all the way up until this year, where they don't seem to throw any flags for any type of pass interference or holding. Now, there was one here in the game. Was it here in the second quarter, or was this later on?
The one egregious one that benefited us was later on.
Yes, that's what I was looking at. It was not on this drive. This was the one that was capped off with Juju Smith-Schuster being wide open. Like, holy cow, I could have completed that pass. And then somehow the Steelers defense gives up. They gave him the ball with a minute 14 left. I understand they had all of their timeouts. They let him drive all the way down the field, 75 yards in 50 seconds, Brian, and score a touchdown. And you're just
That's
like,
when I was scared.
Yeah.
That's when I was actually worried. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? It's not that they weren't getting pressure, but they weren't getting consistent good pressure, and they weren't getting home. Vince Williams played a nice game. He had a sack, he had another tackle for loss. That were nice. They were playing good, solid run defense without a doubt. But man, he was just eating their zone up. And I think that's one of the things that fans got to understand is that like I said earlier, that the reason they're playing that zone and the way that they're playing it is that you just can't turn your back on Deshaun Watson. So this way the people can look forward, see what's going on. But when you play a zone the way that they're playing, there's holes in zones. That's just the nature of that kind of defense. And given enough time, a good quarterback, and Deshaun Watson is a good quarterback, is going to find the holes in those zones. And he was doing it. And that was a little scary, because if the pressure doesn't get there, he's going to eat those zones right up.
Well, that's kind of the way I looked at it too. Does it look familiar? This looks like the old Steelers defense that couldn't cover anybody, you know, from years ago. Well, precisely, because they've been doing a lot more man coverage in recent years than they did, and they were only rushing four again. You know, they used to say they were sending the house the last 2 weeks. And, you know, in the past when they couldn't cover anything like that, or they were being more cautious, trying not to, so to speak, what's the word I'm looking for? Bend but don't break. That's what I'm looking for. That's the way they used to play these things. And so it would look familiar. And unfortunately, that's not the kind of familiar that we wanted to see heading into the locker room at halftime. And you're thinking, you know, it's still not the end of the world. 21-17, they come out, they get the ball to start the second half. They could score here and, you know, and be on top. Unfortunately, as you said on Twitter, 12 plays, 62 yards, 5 minutes, 6 seconds, for the drive, and it ends in a field goal. It ends in a 26-yard field goal. They get down to like the 15. Now, this is where we had the Bradley Roby pass interference on the 4th and 1. It's like Ben was trying to go for broke here today, and he wasn't necessarily on top of everything.
No, he was not. He was not on target several times. It was that, you know, that's chemistry. That's understanding his receivers, and he just wasn't there today. You know, a lot of deep throws that were there. He could have had James Washington. He could have had Chase Claypool, but he just overthrew him.
This drive, Anthony McFarland's heavily involved here. Yes. And now
that
we're
was
seeing,
nice, actually.
We're seeing a committee, and I don't know if I like it or I do like it. The stage didn't seem too big for him. There was somewhere here that was the third down play here. No gain, right on the 50-yard line, right in the middle of the field. That felt, okay, do we have the right guy? But I know some people are going to want to come out, and they're going to want to criticize Randy Fichtner. And we had a little conversation here in the back rooms. I'm not sure if you saw or you were a part of this. But it's if Ben connects on these deep shots, any of them really, or most of them, half of them, then all of a sudden they look like geniuses. You know what I mean?
Right.
If Eric Ebron catches a few of these balls that come his way, James Washington doesn't have a drop on a quick slant. You know, the big deep ball to James Washington that was a little off target. Any of these things linked together and they execute on the field of play, you are not going to be criticizing Randy Fichtner. You know what I mean?
No, you won't.
So I don't necessarily know that I had a huge problem with play calling. I thought a little bit sometimes it was like it felt like it was run, run, pass. A little more play action here or there. It's almost like I feel like I could read what they're doing. And if I could read what they're doing watching on a television, I'm pretty sure the defensive players on the field and the coaches in the press box, Romeo Crennel, who – you know, he's been around, 30 years probably, at least. Like, definitely has an understanding of how the Steelers are operating and what their defense is or what their offense is trying to do. But you had, you had a few of these. And there was, I don't think it was here, but it was somewhere else on a third down play a little further into the game where you had – I'm trying to find it. I don't think we got to it yet. We'll come back around to it because I'm just going to complain about the referees. Steelers –
this is where it starts.
The Steelers – Chris Boswell, 26-yard field goal, right? 21-20. You have 9:49 left in the third quarter. Houston, 3-and-out. Nah, this doesn't look too bad. Steelers – also 3-and-outs. Ben gets sacked here, loses 9 yards. You still have James Connors going in there. You see Benny Snell a little bit. So then there's the –
Can I just say this?
Go ahead.
This is the point. Can we please take out the let's try and run it on 2nd and a billion
yes.
play? Just can we just stop? Because it doesn't work. And I'm tired of that.
It's a draw play. The draw play has its moment is when you're trying to suck someone in on like a 3rd and 15 and you're somewhere within your own 20 or deeper, maybe not as deep as the end zone. Well, not necessarily like your 2-yard line because you're trying not to give up a safety there. Although Todd Haley or Bruce Arians did that the one time. I think Todd Haley did as well, but Bruce Arians very famously, I remember that. I couldn't tell you the game, but I know for a fact. That's a funny thing where people talk about fond memories of certain people, you know, Bruce Arians being one of them. Oh, they let him go and he became a head coach and he'd be better than Tomlin. And it's like, well, what's he ever won? You know what I mean? Out on his own. All he did was Ben looked like a pincushion. He'd just stick a new defender needle into him each day. And then he had 50, 60 needles in him before the end of the season. You couldn't touch him. He looked like a porcupine. But anyways, aside from that, yeah, that's where the draw play, and it wasn't necessarily even a draw play. It was almost just like a delay handoff. You know what I mean? They weren't really surprising anyone. We said this leading into this game. Their defensive line, those guys weren't too bad. I thought the middle of the field, their linebackers, and you get into their secondary is so-so, but you have a guy like Eric Reed or somebody like that as one of the safeties. They're not exactly terrible on defense, but they had trouble stopping the run. You're just giving it right to them in this case. It was like there was nothing creative about it. You saw where they started. You said you had Arm and Hammer. You were calling Watt and Dupree.
Oh no, it wasn't me that called them that. Oh. That was one of our followers, but okay. I just retweeted it because I liked it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was kind of neat. I'm not sure that that's right. Watt being the arm and Bud being the hammer. And
I don't know. As Zakadonia said, Bud's going to kill somebody before the end of the year.
You know what? Tina brought this up too, just as it's coming into my mind with Bud Dupree. This year, the NFL, they had the Bud Light bottles because there's a shortage on aluminum. I guess I couldn't find cans. I went on the hunt for them. So I found the bottles. And they're talking about it. And Joey Hayden is like the one that's featured as the player on the marquee, on the poster, you know, the cutout things that they have in the store. And just, you know, mm-hmm. a small sign, buy a case of Bud Light or whatever. And it's Joey Hayden. And I sent her a picture of it. I was like, hey, I found it. This is what I found the beer. Because I like to collect these things. And Joey Hayden, and she said, they really missed out. That should have been Bud Dupree. And I'm like, Bud Light Dupree. Or maybe Bud Platinum. Bud Platinum.
There you go.
I like Bud Platinum.
Platinum Night.
That sounds pretty good. Bud Ice.
ice, baby.
So, yeah, there's just a lot of punning going on. So we have Brian Anger and Dustin Colquitt exchange punts here back and forth, two apiece. And you end up with the Texans having the ball to start the fourth quarter. And you're thinking maybe they're starting to threaten again here, Brian. And Mike Hilton shows up with a big play here.
The littlest grown-ass man that there is.
Yeah, I don't know. Mike Tomlin's going to get grilled for that. But he's only like, what, 5'8", 5'9"?
He's not. Look, I've met Mike Hilton at a signing. He's not a big human being. He's a small guy. But he's a tough guy, and he's a grown ass man. He may be. He's just he's a mini grown ass man.
Yeah, I'm 5'9". I was right.
A McGam. He's a McGam.
Oh man, that's just no. What are you doing? That's not right. Why would you do that to him? So. Anyways, we're I'm so lost now. Mike Hilton gets an interception here. They finally forced Deshaun Watson to make one of these bad throws, bad plays, as we were surmising would happen in this game that the Steelers needed. Otherwise, it's been pretty much perfect football for both sides. I wouldn't say it was always perfect football. You see T.J. Watt getting tackled to the ground or blatantly held, and the announcers love to talk about, wow, look at the job that Laremy Tunsil and what's the other guy's name?
Wait, that's Bosch. He's Bosch on Amazon. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I can't think of the other tackle's name. There was some of that going on. I understand you could call it on every play, but I don't think there was. Was there a holding call the entire game on either side?
There was not. And look, should we just get into this now?
Well, I'm thinking we might want to tip our caps to Chuksakura for, but we don't really know what. Did we look close enough to see if he was holding? Did he hold Chuks JJ? Maybe.
Nah, I don't.
I know Billy is definitely guilty on at least one play that I know.
Well, Villanueva holds a lot, but I did it, post gamously, so to speak. But Chukwuma Okorafor was given the task of handling J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt is a monster.
A grown ass
man.
There's
no question about it. He's a grown ass man. Yeah, and J.J. Watt's line was boring. It was nothing. You didn't hear them talking about J.J. Watt. Why? Chuksif Korfor handled him. And you have to give some props to Chuksif Korfor for that. Grown-ass man kind of stuff. So, I know we haven't really got into it, but Chuksif Korfor is getting a GAM from me, my friend, because that's a hell of a job to keep J.J. off the stat sheet, so to speak, from sacks and whatnot. I was impressed. That's a good sign. Much more impressed than I was when Matt Filer whiffed it, whoever it was that sacked Ben. That was not a grown-ass man moment.
Well, I want to say that Filer was having a rough one for probably until the fourth quarter when all of a sudden they started pulling him. And then it was just like, hey, let's run this play. Then let's hit, what button is it on the PlayStation? Is it the triangle that flips the play? Let's just flip it and run it the other way.
I know not what of you speak.
Well, admittedly, I have an Xbox, so it's, you know, and now all the fanboys will come out, all the Sony fanboys will come out at me. And like, what? How do you not know this stuff?
I have a Nintendo Switch.
Oh, I do too. I'm a big Nintendo
I don't have any of those other ones anymore.
I'm a big Nintendo guy. You know what? I haven't been the big Madden player the last few years. It doesn't change enough for me to want to invest in it, and I just don't have the time, to be quite frank, so... but anyways,
you know what I did, right?
Yeah,
no. When I had Madden, I just cheat and edit all the Steelers players up to 99s on everything. And then I just win like every Super Bowl for like 72 years in a row. It's not, I don't care about competition. I want to win like a billion to nothing.
Right, he drafts a guy named Ryan Boach and then he's got,
that's a complete, I named him my own name.
Well, that was you. I was just being a little more inconspicuous.
I know. I'm much more egotistical than that. I gave him my name, and then I set every passing record for the Steelers in the history of the game with myself.
You know, when I used to do those things, I would at least name the players like Smith or Johnson or Williams or Hill or something like that to give them like some type of real name, but generic enough that, you know, it fit. Well, anyways, we're way off track here. The Steelers, after this interception, they capitalize on this. And this is where you get to talk about James something or other expletive Connor, because yes. We can't say those type of things even when we paraphrase someone else. So we'll just stay away from it all the way around. But James Connor, grown-ass man. He finishes on a 12-yard touchdown run here. And then Ben Roethlisberger with the quick pass to Juju Smith-Schuster here as well. You know what else I liked? I'm pretty sure this was the drive here where they had a third down play, and it was it may have been this one, the very first one, third and five to Eric Ebron. You notice like all the time, like Ben comes up to the line, he has like 15 to 20 seconds left on the play clock. Let's put this guy in motion. Let's move James Connor from over here to over here. Let's pick some daisies or some weeds off of the grass. And then let's snap the ball at one or two left on the play clock. Now, they got up to the line and ran this thing about as quick can be, and really caught the Texans off guard with a nice quick slant there to Ebron. I thought that was a fantastic execution of the play there and a play call. Whoever drew that one up, if it was in the dirt or it was planned, that's another thing. It's just like, that was great. I loved it. I understand they're not trying to emulate some like air raid offense or Chip Kelly or any of these other guys doing like 100 plays in a game, but that had its purpose, and it worked out well there. They actually convert a few third downs themselves here. They were stuck in third and five, third and one, and third and two, but on this very drive too, they got a couple of first downs. It was finally a drive where it wasn't every single time you were running three plays to get a first down, which was nice to see too. And it seemed like they were finally in sync there. And then, of course, kicked the ball back over. Deshaun Watson's got about 6.5 minutes to try and do something. TJ Watt steals his lunch money right on first down. Just totally unblocked there. We saw some good stuff from Stephon Tuitt here through this game too, but the Texans end up with a 3rd and 26. They just drop everyone back in a prevent. Bill O'Brien just says, okay, white flag here. I'm going to punt. We'll see what my team can do here. And Ben ends up capping this off. You got some. You got James Conner running everywhere, 25 yards, 4 yards. Benny Snell comes in, gets 4 yards. Then it was 3rd and 2, and they didn't get it right up the middle. And you know, it was just a good play. I think this was, J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt had the tackle here. It was the first timeout by Houston. Also smart use of the timeout by Bill O'Brien, I will say that much. And then this is where they go Ben Roethlisberger into the shotgun on 4th and 1, and you're just like, let's push the pile here, man. Like, come on. Like, this is just, I understand. Derek Watt's not in there.
Here's the classic Yinzer take on things, right? All through the game, that's what they, stop doing this. No shotgun, no passing, no this, no that. I mean, I said it earlier. I don't want them in shotgun in certain areas, but that was a 3rd and 1, which I didn't want them in. On 4th and 1, you know, you do what you got to do. But here's the thing, you know, it succeeds. If that fails, then they're all going to have his head. You know, if they run it up the middle and it doesn't work, then it's going to be, why didn't you do it the other way? So we're never happy, but it was a nice play call. It executed well. James Washington takes it. It was great. But this is this is the worst type of revisionist history with this is no matter what, if it works, you're great. If it doesn't, you stink. And it really doesn't matter what the call is. Either way, we're not consistent. If they throw it and it fails, then it was a bad call. If they run it and it fails, it was a bad call. If either one of them works, then it was great.
Yeah, and the one that's great is Chase. Was this the jumbo set right at the end on 3rd and 9 where they throw it to Chase Claypool, who's the only wide receiver on the field? And yeah, he just mows everyone down 24 yards and nearly scores.
Needs to keep a handle on that ball, young man.
Yes, yes, young man. You have learned. Welcome to the NFL. A little jitters. Probably didn't realize he's still going to have the jitters for a little bit, I would think. You know,
And I'm pretty sure that was another bad call by the refs right there.
Oh, yeah?
I'm pretty sure that they should have given the ball back to Houston.
No, you know what? Honestly, you know, I've been a part of other sports and just, you know, it's a game of angles. And that's why I hate that they don't have the camera angles on the boundaries to properly see these things. There was probably something they didn't show us on. If it would have been fumbled over the pylon, I'm almost 110% sure that it was fumbled out of bounds before the pylon, before and not through the end zone. This is totally not me being a homer either or being biased. I'm being 100% here, man.
I hear you. I just know that when I looked at it, I was going, well, you know, they stink against us a lot. This time they stunk for us. I'm fine. I'll take it.
Nah, I think the other one with Chase Claypool earlier.
That was much worse.
But you know what, though? Roby isn't tracking the ball. He turns around and they make contact. And we've seen this. We've seen it called and not called. I remember Martavis Bryant. There was one like that, maybe against the Ravens several years ago, all the way downfield. And, of course, he gets tripped up and they say they get their legs tripped up and we're not throwing a flag on that. But it also ends up in a spot, too, where Chase Claypool was at 3rd down. And he has his arm like pinned behind him.
They don't call that one.
And they don't call that one.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those
consistency. Yeah. That's my key. Consistency. They're consistently wrong.
And those are really the only calls the entire game. And you know, we're still complaining about
that. The worst is this one. We got River on.
Yes. Yes. The challenge.
River blank Rond. I'm just telling you, COVID, no COVID. Quarantine, no quarantine. I want to find Al Riveron and kick him square in his nutsack.
Well, that's why the penalty. That was the drive to start the third quarter.
The gift back is the, the refs are all sitting there going, oh, they're going to overturn this. We know they're going to overturn this because we screwed this up. And then it doesn't get overturned. And they're like, oh, well, we got to give him a first down now somehow.
I'm going to tell you that off the record that in some cases there's a human element of the officials where they know they've screwed something up. There's been an error that they cannot correct. And they kind of – there might be something muttered under someone's breath where we need to make this right. And they're probably thinking, well, we could throw a flag. The easiest one would have been if they could have tried to throw like for encroachments or something like that and just giving them the 5 yards. But it ends up being this and it bounces out because it should have been a first down with Ben scrambling. There's no way.
It was blatantly obvious.
And we were talking about angles and you're talking about, you know, thinking that the fumble. I don't think that fumble goes into the end zone at all. Or if the ball even is anywhere close to it, it's out of bounds at least a yard short. They marked it 2. But this other one with the pass interference, yeah, it's iffy. There's contact there, and I'd be livid if that call was made against us. In fact, you've seen Joe Hayden called for lesser contact. But again, I'm saying, okay, the football gods have made this right, so I'm going to take the gift that they give us. That's the only reason I'm going to just slide this under the rug, because that should have been a first down to begin with. So horrible officiating on back-to-back plays is a cause and effect here of the Steelers. That was the 21-20. That was the 26-yard Chris Boswell field goal. But eventually, you know, they end up with that big long drive that we were talking about. And then Chase Claypool kind of almost closes out the game, and he was looking to score, and I thought he was going to, and I wanted him to. He was in my fantasy. So he was in my DraftKings, even though I was pretty much right that he didn't have much of a game overall. Outside of that, I think it was 2 catches. No, just the 1 catch for 24 yards. He was targeted 4 times. they tried to get him involved, but I didn't think he would have the big stat line. And I said that, you know, leading into this game too. Let me pat myself on the back. You'll get the pat yourself in a second. Self high five here. But they kneel down. Final score, Steelers 28, Texans 21. Talking about some grown-ass men. We're talking about some predictions that we got right. We will never mention any of the ones that we get wrong. James Conner, 1 yard shy of my 150, bro. That's pretty cool. I said, yeah. I thought he would get 100 rushing, not 150 rushing, but 100 and some combination of a handful of catches, which he did, 4 for 40, combined with his 18 for 109 yards, gave him 149 from scrimmage with a TD, 6.1 average on the ground. You know, what else can I say about that? And then, you know, I think David Carr was a little loony with his prediction. Would have needed at least 22 sacks to have more sacks from the Steelers defense than points scored by the Texans. But we'll take what we got.
What was it? Five? I think it was five. I did find it. Yes, it's five.
Let me see. Five for a total of 33 yards. The Steelers gave up two. That's about, hey, you know what? I was the one who was saying they'd gotten to Watson four times apiece in each of the last two games, and I thought they would kind of get into that same ballpark again. So you were right, though. I wasn't as sure. I thought that I'm actually going to admit to one that I got wrong. I thought they would have more turnovers than sacks in this game. I just thought that Watson would have been a little more elusive overall. So, you know, that's pretty good. Let's look at some other individual performances here as well. I was going to mention, I was pretty sure when I did the one on Connor, I thought I talked about a team stat too. And let me see. And I was saying he was going to give a breather or two with Benny Snell, which actually did happen, but I didn't think they were going to play Anthony McFarland, but I'm honestly not complaining either. I think it's a little exciting. I also think it's a little risky, but it's also good that, you know, Connor here, what was it, 18 touches? Because wasn't it Mark Cabali that's the one that says once he gets to like 23 or 24 is when he gets hurt? So they kept him within this pitch count. Maybe somebody was listening. Snell had 7 carries for 11 yards, which was not good, 1.6 average. No. But McFarland had 6 for 42 for 7.0 average with a 20-yard long. I think that was the first one he broke away with. If you count, Ben knelt down a couple times. He had his little like scamper. Jalen Samuels had a yard, and then Deontay Johnson, who got rocked on the running play, and he had been the most heavily targeted and the leading receiver going into this game. So it was kind of, you know, taking some wind out of the sails to see him go out of the game, and we hope he's okay and can come back sooner rather than later. But he didn't catch another pass. All he had was the 1 9-yard run. So Steelers run for 169 nice yards in this game overall, which was pretty much what we said. They were going to run all over the Texans, although Ben, he still passed for 237. I didn't think we said he would pass for 300. I don't think we said he would attempt 45 passes or anything. He only attempted 36. He had a QB rating of 101.3. No picks, 2 touchdowns. Pretty solid stuff. Steelers, we should mention Eric Ebron. I didn't really have like a pulse on the tight ends getting involved, but when you combine them here, you have 8 catches between Eric Ebron and Vance McDonald. Vance McDonald, the man possessed too. He was playing angry. He caught 3 balls for 35 yards. Of course, we mentioned Ebron's touchdown earlier. He had 5 for 52. Juju, 4 for 43 and a TD. You know, he didn't he had some clutch plays, though. He didn't have like necessarily anything, the wide open one, but it wasn't like, this isn't the Antonio Brown days of catching 20 passes. You know what I mean? So this ball goes around to, you know, James Washington, too, 5 for 36. So everybody's getting involved here. We mentioned Connor earlier. So the ball gets spread around quite a bit. There's a lot of targets. There's a lot of mouths to feed in the Steelers' offense. We go defensively here. Who all had sacks? So let's go through. T.J. Watt had another one. So anyone who was looking for the, what was that, the one prop bet that was a half sack, at least a half sack, you won that one for sure. Sack.
Stephon Tuitt.
Devin Bush with a half.
Devin Bush
sack.
Had half.
Vince Williams.
And then
very
big bad Bud.
Yes.
Big bad Bud. One. Sack and a half.
Yep. Sack and a half. They keep racking them up, racking them and stacking them. Right. Deshaun Watson still had a decent game. He completed 70.4% of his passes, 264 yards. the two TDs, just the one pick, still ended up with a QB rating higher than Ben, 110.7. For whatever reason, it's like Randall Cobb was almost like the leading wide receiver here, which I didn't guess. They tried to get Will Fuller a little more involved because he wasn't anywhere on the stat sheet the week before against the Ravens. Just 4 for 54. He had the one TD. You know, they let him kind of roam wherever. Akins, I think, moved the chains at least once or twice there. Brandon Cook's pretty much absent, though, 3 for 23. And, of course, David Johnson, completely non-existent, 1.8 average, 13 carries for 23 yards. That was just kind of disgusting, and they tried to put C.J. Procise in there for one play, and that got blown up pretty quickly. He had exactly 1 yard, and he never saw the field again. So overall, tale of two halves. Steelers shut down the Texans in the second half. I'd like to pull up some of this and actually compare some of the things that we talked about earlier, because you get the first half breakdown, but you don't have just the second half summary on its own. I'm trying to see here. So David Johnson had 20 of his yards in the first half. So it means he only ran for 3 yards in the entire second half, Brian. Three yards.
If you run through their drives in the second half,
yeah,
the drives in the vast majority of their drives in the second half were short three and outs.
Yes.
The only one that really had any duration was the one that ends in the Hilton interception. I'm trying to go back through here, and I'm like, okay, see, third quarter, Steelers start out nice drive. Texans go three and out. Steelers go three and out. Texans go basically three and out. Steelers go three and out. The Texans start to put a drive together. At the end of that quarter, seven plays, interception. Then the Steelers, nice long drive, Texans go three and out. They could not put anything together. The defense did an outstanding job, and the offense complemented them well in the second half with nice sustained drives, keeping them fresh. And, they put it in such a position that there just wasn't anything the Texans could do.
No, and going back to this too, even going to Deshaun Watson, okay, 14 of 18, 202 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, 150.5 QB rating in the first half.
Yep.
Okay, so he only passes for 62 yards, five passes for 62 yards, which isn't necessarily awful, not a whole lot of yards there.
One pick.
And the one pick, no touchdown. I mean, it's a tale of two halves. I'd like to put that together and see. Let me see, 27 attempts. So he had another 9 attempts. So he went 5 of 9. You know, that's almost 50% there, you know. Not a good half at all offensively. The Steelers defense just clamped down. Tale of two halves right there. It just goes to show you, we're talking about, you know, oh, overall, the whole good game. They had this tremendous first half with the 21 points and didn't do anything again. And I don't know if you saw in the back rooms, I thought at the 14, when they got to 14, I said, that's it. They're not going to get anything more. I thought for sure the Steelers were going to end up shutting them out down. They had that quick 50-second drive with the 3 timeouts. They score before half, I'm just like, well, that didn't age too well, but actually it wasn't too bad. I was just a little premature with the crystal ball there. So, I'll take a win is a win is a win. The Steelers 3-0 for the first time since 2010. And 3-0 is actually, a lot of people were like, wow, that's been that long. And it's like, I think it might have been, was it Brooke Pryor or Didi Kikawala? Somebody said the first time this decade they're 3-0, and it's like, well, thanks, Captain Obvious. So
yeah,
first season of the decade. But our own professor, Coach Meckler, he tweeted something out that was fairly interesting as well, and I'm going to have to pull it up. But he talked about how rare it was. I think it's only like the third time since 2002 or 2003 that they went 3-0. I'm going to find it real quick because it's definitely worth mentioning. And then I think he said you had to go all the way back to like 1992. So, you know, even though it's pretty good, let me see. I should have it here. Here we go. In the previous eight seasons, the Steelers started 3-0. They have a combined record of 81-34. That's a 704 win percentage, 7 division titles. 1936, the only season they didn't win the division. 3 Super Bowl appearances and 2 Super Bowl victories. I don't really know if he went and came up with that himself. He is a smart dude, so I will say I'll give him some kind of credit for that. I believe he had like another one here too. Let's see. Steelers moved to 3-0 for the first time, just the third time since 2000. Okay, so it was 2000. Last time, obviously, was 2010. And the, another time was 2007. That was Mike Tomlin's first year as head coach. And then before then, you have to go all the way back to 1992 to find a season where the Steelers started 3-0. And then, of course, as he had mentioned, each of those times they had started 3-0. They went on to win their division. So some very cool stats there. We also saw a tie between the Bengals and Eagles. That was almost kind of a football game where we saw everybody, both backups get in.
But was it really? Was it a game? Or was it just an exhibition? I don't know. They both stink.
I thought the Dolphins-Jaguars game was a little bit better than that. And then the Cleveland. Congratulations to the Cleveland Browns. You deserve a trophy. It's the first time you've been above 500 since Week 15 of the 2014 season with a 34-20 win over a Washington football team that just continued to shoot themselves in the foot. I would love to give more credit where credit's due, but I mean the Browns capitalized on the turnovers as any football team should, and you know you can't do that when you got guys like Nick Chubb that you can't stop. There's another team that can't stop the run. They lost Chase Young too. During that game as well, and we'll see what kind of injury that is because everybody seems to have some type of injury bug and players are dropping like flies. We'll be keeping our eyes on the Ravens and the Chiefs, and I guess we're going to be Kansas City fans for a day, and everyone grab your Andy Reid costume complete with the Waffle House menu. So Brian thinks it's the Awful House, and you don't like the breakfast food anyways, but we're not going to get into that today. So thanks for joining me once again, my friend. Happy trails, I guess.
Absolutely. I'm thrilled to it's nice to be 3-0. I will enjoy my victory Monday, as you should as well.
I will enjoy it, and I will be wearing all sorts of black and gold, and I was telling you, I just picked up a whole bunch of new gear, so I'm excited. I got all kinds of things to wear from now through, February, whenever the Super Bowl is.
Here's the important question. Did you get some draws?
Some draws? No, I didn't get any.
Get some underwear? I got my underwear on, man. I got my official Steelers underwear.
I saw the tweet.
And I tweeted it out, but I'm not posing in it.
No.
That's just the way it is.
Please don't. There are certain things that
Zach really wants to see it.
Which Zach?
Zach Adonia. He was very disappointed, but you know he's a perv. So
everyone's mind's in the gutter. Anytime we mention the number 6 and 9, it should be no surprise that with sophomoric humor, particularly the Steelers social media team. Hats off. We know you're paying attention because you took a Step Brothers quote. We've been doing that forever. But I digress. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. We're up against it. Thanks again to Brian. My name is Joe. And until next time, folks, you know we encourage all of you out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.